to Ephesians chapter 4. And if you have your notes, why don't you take those out and follow along, fill in the blanks where you can. And we've been talking about putting off and putting on, the process that God wants us to participate in and seeing the change happen in our lives. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this or ever thought this, that a person, when they become a Christian, and other people find out, oh, you're a Christian. You ever had the experience where they felt like now you should be perfect? And they go, I thought you were a Christian. Oh, please. We don't become perfect when we become Christians, right? There's a few things that we need to fix. Maybe a lot of things we need to fix. Okay? So, how does that happen? Well, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about putting off the old person because that's not you anymore. That's what the Bible teaches us. And we put on the new. Change your clothes. They're smelly. You need some new clothes. The new person that God wants you to put on. Now, we talked about an issue that's very prevalent, one of the common things. So Paul is going to give us some examples of what we need to put off and what we need to put on. He talks about the thing that is not good, the things we should do, and the reason why we should do it. Okay? So now we're going to move to our next one, which is very uncommon, right? Anger. Anybody have a problem with anger? I don't know if I'm... Oh, we do. See, I was thinking I was teaching a subject nobody could relate to. Well, anyhow, we have anger issues. And the Bible says this, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Now, notice, it says, in your anger, do not sin. New King James Version says, be angry and do not sin. What it's implying here, or what it states here, is that anger is not a bad thing by itself. Just because you are angry doesn't mean that's wrong. Some anger, you need to be angry. It's wrong if you aren't angry. Wow, that's a new one. You're supposed to get angry? Yes, sometimes you are. Sometimes you're supposed to get angry. See, God gave the emotion of anger to you. You were made that way. Now, the problem is, when's a good time and when's not a good time? I titled this, Be Good and Angry. There are times when it's a righteous anger, and other times it's not a righteous anger, it's a sinful anger. And we're to do one and not the other. Now, the first thing you need to do if you're going to be dealing with anger is that you have to admit that you're angry. You have to admit that you're angry. It's amazing to me how many people hate to admit that they're angry when they're angry. They put all kinds of other labels on it that says, I'm not angry. I'm a little perturbed. Yeah, that means angry. No, it doesn't. It means perturbed. Okay. I was a little annoyed. A little annoyed. Okay. So that's why you threw that thing? You were a little annoyed? It's amazing. We have a hard time admitting that we get angry. Why? Because we don't want to admit that we've done wrong. Don't want to be embarrassed or to be looked down upon as though we're something bad about us. You know, we don't want people to see us that way. Or we don't want to feel like we're a person who's out of control, or all kinds of reasons that we have. But you can't change, and you can't take off something that you don't believe is there. There's no way to move forward. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to be honest with yourself and say, this is what it is. I'm angry. I have an emotion, a feeling, an attitude of anger right now? Now, here's the next thing we have to find out. Is it a righteous anger or is it a sinful anger? Okay? Now, there are times when you're supposed to get angry. Jesus got angry. What? Yes. Meek and mild Jesus got angry. In Mark chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, it says, Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, meaning the Pharisees, the religious leaders, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. Now here's the good part. He looked around at them in, what's the word? Anger. He looked at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. So there was a time when Jesus was here, obviously, and he was walking the earth, and he experienced the same things we experience, but without sin. So there is a time that you can be angry and not sin. He was angry at the hard hearts of these Pharisees, their lack of mercy and compassion and understanding and ability to even be civil and help another fellow man. And he became angry at that. God himself has anger. You've heard the term the wrath of God. Verse 18 of chapter 1 of Romans says this, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." God is angry about that. And you are to be angry. Now, here's some things that you need to write down. Psalm 97 and verse 10. It says, "Let those who love the Lord..." Anybody here love the Lord? Okay, notice this word. Hate is the word. Hate evil. That's what you're to do. You're to have hate for evil. Hating evil is a righteous thing. Okay? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will," and here's the word again, "hate the one and love the other. Or he will stand by and be devoted to one," and here's another word, "and despise and be against the other." Ending, it says, "You cannot serve God and mammon," or deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. Okay, so here's the hatred you have to have. That's an anger. That's an emotional response to these things that are evil, that are wrong. You are to despise, you're to hate, not money, but the deceitfulness of money, of mammon, this desire to serve it, to have it be the solution for all your problems, to look at it as the thing that makes you worthy and worthwhile, or you know, all these kind of thoughts about money are evil. They don't come from God. That's an evil thing. Because it brings forth evil things too. It causes you to feel superior to other people. That's sin. You see what I'm saying? So we're to have hate for that. Now, we don't hate the people who have money. We don't hate money itself. See, that's the thing. It's a tricky thing. It's kind of a balancing act here. You're to hate the sin and not the sinner. You've heard that, haven't you? Hate the sin, not the sinner. You hate the actions. You don't hate the person. What we find ourselves is moving from hatred of evil to hating the evil, the person that does the evil. And we hate them. Now we've stepped into an area that's not righteous. So there is a righteous anger. So when we see sin, We're to hate it. We're not wanting to have anything to do with it. In our society, nobody seems to hate evil. that's their thing. It's not my thing. Okay. That's up to them. If they want to do that, that's their business. And we watch things and do things that seem to indicate that we, you know, oh well. These things need to have a stronger reaction. And we tend to make excuses for the things that we do. Why? Because we don't have this rejection to this thing in our life that's wrong. We make excuses for it. That is not the right response. You need to have anger about these things. Lord, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I don't want to be a part of that at all. Now, if you've been burnt by something really bad, you definitely don't want to do it again. And you despise it because you can see for what it is. God wants to have that kind of anger in his people, where they stand against evil, but not hating the people who might do it. Because people are not our enemy. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual forces. Now, here's the thing about sinful anger. Sinful anger is all about me. It's selfish. It's self-centered. It's always looking at yourself. Notice, here's some words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, love is not rude. It does not demand its own way. And here's a good one. Is not irritable. That was in the Bible? Yep. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. Oh my. How many have ever had irritation? Thank you. Makes me feel a whole lot better. I know that's not good, but it does. Seen being bad-tempered, irritable, grumpy, or caustic, hurtful, are all sin. They're all sinful attitudes and reactions, as well as any rage or boiling mad, how you want to describe it, any of those kind of emotional reactions are not right. Or to have this sense of, I must get even, or taking revenge. All those are sin. All those need to be put off. They're not to be a part of a Christian's life. So, all anger is not wrong, but there is anger that is wrong. Now, you have to do this. You have to ask, why am I angry? Why am I angry? Now, here's the danger about anger. If you don't, first of all, admit it, and then start asking yourself, why am I angry? Anger is going to have a big part in your life. You'll be doing things and saying things and acting in ways that are going to be hurtful, detrimental, damaging, etc., etc. It brings all kinds of bad fruit into your life. So I need to ask myself, why am I angry? What is it that I'm angry about? Why am I so upset? Why is this upsetting me? How come this bothers me? See, it's very important for you to understand that, because that helps you to be able to deal with it and to know what to do about it. And so there are some issues that usually bring this anger. Anger itself is not the problem. It's the other things that are behind the anger that you need to deal with so you can diffuse the anger. Now, here's some things that can be behind anger. Have I been hurt? Have I been hurt? when you feel rejection, when you feel like you've been unfairly criticized, embarrassed, humiliated, disrespected by someone, when you feel like you've been unjustly treated, our natural tendency is to strike back at that which is hurting us or has hurt us, which is causing pain maybe in our life. And sometimes this source of hurt may be something a long time ago that we've just carried along with us. And it starts to become a way of looking at things then. You start to be overly sensitive to things. You don't make good judgments. You don't see situations as they really are. You're viewing it with the anger and the hurt that you've had in the past. So that I find that I don't make good decisions when I'm angry. I don't make good choices when I'm angry. And I have to calm down in order to make a good choice or good decision. So that if you are been hurt real bad and you never dealt with it, it's been unresolved and it's just there, it makes you very sensitive to any small hurt. And you're very prickly. And someone touches you, you go, you know, you react. And it's not a good thing. Here's one that I like. When you're frustrated, I ask myself, am I frustrated? Now, I remember not too long ago, I was coming off of Highway 5, and we took the 8-mile exit, and we're driving 8-mile road, and I was taking my daughter home, and it was late at night. I was tired, and I made good time. Don't judge me. I made good time. And I was driving, and I turned into Thornton. Anybody know where Thornton is? And it happened to be that they had been doing work for quite a long time, right? And I pulled into Thornton, and went boom. I thought, what in the world was that? And I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, tire light goes on. And I could tell I've got a tire that's leaking air. What happened? And I'm looking back, and as I'm kind of coasting down here, one car, two cars, three cars, four cars, all changing tires. And I'm going, geez, what's that? Not what I wanted to happen tonight before I have to go home. So I'm pull over to the side. Okay, let's do it. Let's get it done. I'm trying to control my anger. And I pop the trunk, get the stuff out. And I'm trying to get the bolts off. And I tell you, some person tightened those bolts so hard that a gorilla couldn't take it off. And I was, and then, of course, my daughter is very strong, so she tells me she can do it. That really made me feel relieved. And she's, no luck. Finally, I had to stand on the bar to kind of loose, because I was just thinking, oh great, I can't get the tire off, it's flat, it's 10 o'clock, what am I going to do, walk to, and she's calling friends. I said, don't call friends, it's kind of like, it's embarrassing, I can't get the tire off, my old dad can't get the tire off. I'm going, oh man, I just don't. I just had to really control myself. Because, I said, okay, this is it. This is what it is. Do I want to get angry and then get in a fight with my daughter? Because that's what's going to happen. I'm going to say something, and then she'll say something, and then we go binkity bink, bink, bank, back and forth. So I'm just trying to control myself. See, frustration is a part of life. Things happen. Boy, do I have some good stories about frustration. It seems to be, people I can deal with, it's when things don't work that's supposed to work. When things don't go as I think they're supposed to go, that's when I get... Here's the true confessions time. I remember we as a family are going to watch a movie, and it's on TV, DirecTV. Well, there's all kinds of stuff I can tell you about, but I'm not going to tell you. It's just that you're supposed to be able to just order it, right? And it doesn't work because of something that I need to take care of, but I haven't taken care of. Anyhow, so I'm trying to order the thing on the remote, and it does its thing, and I'm getting a little more frustrated. Okay. Well, there's a phone number there. I'll just call it and order it. Get this machine talking to me. I'm going, okay. Yes, that's the number. Yes, this is the receiver. Okay. What do you want? I want... Did not understand that. And you go, okay. I'll talk slower for you. And I'm getting more irritated as the time goes on here, until finally I'm just ready to throw this phone. And my girls are going, Dad, calm down. It's okay. We'll work it out. I said, I know. I tell you what. You need to do this if you're going to watch a movie. I can't do this right now. I'm so irritated at this thing. I had to try to calm myself down. I was going to sin. See, frustrations are going to happen, but you can't let that cause you to let your anger become sin. You got to rein it in, so you're not going to act in ways that are going to be hurtful, damaging, and just wrong. Another reason for anger is, do I fear something? Fear, or another way to say fear, is insecurity. You feel insecure. You have anxiety about something. And you can find that can make you react in an angry way. When something that someone does embarrasses you in front of somebody else, it makes you feel vulnerable and you don't like that. And you start to think about how they've treated you, and you can become angry. People don't like to be scared, you know. You jump out from behind the, and they, it's embarrassing that you scared them, and they're not happy with that. I remember one bonehead thing I did when we were first married. We went on a trip to Carmel, I think it was Carmel, and I got a good deal at this hotel, right? And it was a beautiful place, going to enjoy it, and had a long drive, so I'm in the bathtub of the hotel, and I thought, I'm going to play dead. And I just laid there, you know. My wife came in, and she goes, Roger, what's going on? What are you doing? Roger, what's going on? What do you do? What's the matter with you? Hey, Roger. And she was petrified, like I died. And I said, oh, I'm okay. I haven't done that ever again. Well, maybe I did it once. I don't know. Maybe once or twice. I don't want to lie. But I don't do that. I try not to do that, okay? It's not a good thing. You see, we can find ourselves where we are fearful, or something causes us to be irritated or angry, or if we feel insecure. Again, if we are insecure and feel fear, we find ourselves more vulnerable to misinterpreting people's actions and what they have to say or do. Like, for instance, if I've been rejected, then I'm really sensitive to rejection. I feel insecure about that. Fear that I might be rejected. And then I see rejection everywhere. So someone, I walk by them, they didn't say hi. And I go, oh, these people here. Who do they think they are? They're so much better than me. I can't. Blah, blah, blah. And now you're starting to think bad things about them, and you're getting angry. Pretty soon you see these things everywhere. You see what I'm saying? Understand? You got to find that that's happening. Okay, that's why is that happening to me? Because I feel vulnerable. Because I feel like I've been hurt, and I don't want to be hurt again. And I see these things, and I'm starting to. I can't trust what I see. I don't have good judgment when I'm in this condition. And I need to be aware of that so that I don't become angry in a sinful way. So we need to ask ourselves, why am I angry? Have I been hurt? Am I frustrated? Or do I fear something? Those are a lot of times reasons why the anger will come. And if you never know what that's causing the anger, if you don't understand what's happening in your life, then you have no ability to deal with it. You can't suppress it, because sooner or later it pops out in the most odd places at the odd times. Here's another principle we learned from this portion of scripture. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. The word angry there is not the same one as the first one. It's actually wrath in the King James. But it's a set attitude of anger. It's a simmering kind of anger. And it says, don't let the sun go down while you have that. In other words, act now, not later. Deal with it as soon as you can. Don't wait to deal with it. The longer you wait, the worse it gets. Matthew 5:23 and verse 24 puts it this way. Jesus was talking about this. He says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. So if you see that somebody has a problem with you, some kind of anger, you need to deal with it. Later on it says, if you have a problem with somebody, you go to them and deal with it. You deal with it sooner rather than later. And you have to prepare yourself when you're dealing with those things. You don't want to go in anger. You have to recognize, why am I? You have to go through the process that we talked about, coming to an understanding of why you are angry. Then you ask God's help to help deal with this thing and reconcile it, and get it into the light and have it done with. Don't finish the day still angry. I remember I've had times where I don't know if you've done this. I told myself, I'm going to stay angry. I'm determined. I'm not going to let this go. I'm going to be angry. Let them enjoy that. That was stupid. That's just dumb. I didn't do anything. They didn't even know I was angry. Jeez, I didn't know. You don't want to draw this out. It does. Anger even does something to your physical body. That's bad. Unresolved anger is not good for you physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's not good. Period. That's why God doesn't want us to do it. And then we find ourselves starting to justify our sin, justify why it's so good that we're angry. And we're getting to be locked in to a sense and an attitude of anger. You don't want to do that. You want to deal with it, diffuse it as soon as possible. It's interesting, I read that there's only one difference between the word danger and the word anger. It's the letter D. It's just a slight difference. They're tied together. Anger can bring dangerous things into your life, things that will be ruinous, things that will be hurtful, things that will be destructive. It's dangerous to us socially. It's dangerous to us emotionally. It ruins relationships. It destroys homes. It destroys spiritually. It causes us to be cut off from God. We can't have communion and fellowship with Him because we're filled with anger, and He wants us to deal with it. We need to take care of it. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Here's the last one that we learn from this. Avoid giving an opportunity. Giving an opportunity to the devil. Sinful anger leads to opening your life to be manipulated. The enemy wants to manipulate you, to use you. And the word here is using is like opening the door, giving them a place to be. In other words, you give the devil an opportunity to do his mischief in your life. So you hold on to your anger, which causes you to nurse your grievance, your hurt, which brings a desire to get revenge, what you think is to get even, and it leads you to despise people and to treat them with contempt, and you're deep in, you're an ankle deep or you're shin deep into sin. God is not working in your life, and you can make it all spiritual if you like. God wants me to straighten this person out. Well, you're not the person. You're too angry. See, if you become vindictive or you try to get back, you're working right into the devil's hands. Because, see, it never stays what you want it to be. It starts to have a life of its own, and it starts to affect other things that you never thought, never even considered, that they would be affected. Here's an interesting thing in Matthew chapter 18. It says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." See, we need to give God control of our anger. You need to give God control of your anger because you need to realize that these things will bring God against you. Have you thought of that? If I nurse my anger, now I've got God against me. How many think you're going to win that one? Good. That's a good way to think, because you're not going to win. I have to give God control. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Write that down. 1 Peter 2, 23. And this is speaking of Jesus. "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." This is the example that we're given of Jesus himself when he was insulted. He didn't respond with an insult. He gave it to God. He recognized God's control over these things, so that he would seek God and say, "Lord, how would you have me react? How would you have me act in this situation?" So he didn't retaliate. Why? Because the Old Testament scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." Now, when you start to thinking about how you're going to repay, what are you saying to God? What are you telling God if you say, "I'm going to do this. I need to get back at them. I need to even this out." Well, it's saying something like this: "God, you're incompetent. I can't trust you. You don't know what you're doing. I can handle this. You can't." Wow. Do you talk to God like that? By your actions? Not a good thing. You have to give God the anger. Now, here's another thing to help you avoid giving the devil an opportunity to work in your life. You need to look at the situation from God's point of view. Not from your point of view, but from God's point of view. The problem is when we get angry, the only thing we can see is ourselves. We're the center of attention. We're the main thing. We don't see anything else. We don't act in a logical way. In fact, anger is really kind of a form of madness. When you're mad, you get mad. You're mad. You're not thinking correctly. Now, here's an example of looking at things from God's point of view. When Jesus was on the cross, just think about it. Was he mistreated? Did he deserve what he was suffering? No. When he was mocked and made fun of and spit at, ridiculed, what did he do? Okay, I'm calling down a couple legions of angels and you're dust. You've had it. I put up with enough. I probably would have done that way before then. He didn't. What did he say? He said, "Forgive them." Now here's the insight. "For they do not know what they're doing." What did he recognize about them? What did he say earlier about them? He said, "You're of your father, the devil." He recognized if they didn't have their spiritual awakening, come to a spiritual rebirth, they were blind. And they were susceptible to being manipulated and used by the enemy. And he recognized that. He says, "You know what? They're not my enemy. Satan is the one who's working in their lives. They're responsible for their actions. But me blaming them and attacking them is not the answer to the situation. What I need is to," and we learn this later, this one thing we do, "is to pray for them. Pray for our enemies." That's the last point there. Pray for those you are angry with. Pray for your enemies. Now, Jesus looked at things from God's point of view and saw things in a way that enabled him to get out of the center of the situation and see what God would want done in that situation. John 18, write this down. John 18, verses 22 and 23. Jesus was standing before the high priest, and he made a statement, and one of the officials that were nearby struck him in the face. Now, I don't know about you. I don't really enjoy that. I just don't. Somebody's hit me. I really don't like that. Notice what Jesus does. It says, "When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. In this way, is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. And Jesus says this, "If I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Wow. Now, I'll tell you the truth. Talk about power and strength. To be able to be in control in such a way that you think about that. You think about instructing this person that is wrong to help him. He actually took his enemies and would plead with them. after being treated the way he was treated. Here's another perspective that we need to have. James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Notice that first word, listen. I have found to be true, when you're angry, you do not listen. Have you ever known anybody who's in a fight with somebody that they're actually listening to the other person to understand what they're having to say? Don't think so. What is happening? Oh, I got to come back for that. That is idiotic. I'm going to say it right now. That's idiotic, what you just said. And then they're thinking, oh, he said it's idiotic, huh? Well, let me say this. And, you know, it's all about yourself and winning. Winning is the important thing. Putting them down and putting them in their place. Yes, I won. That made things better. Don't think so. Made things worse. You win, but you lose in winning. It's not about winning. That's a godly perspective. It's not about winning. So if you can get yourself out of that to say, okay, what is really happening here? Why is it they're angry? Why did they do this? What is happening here? Get yourself under control and say, God, now give me a perspective of what this is here. How can I, what do you want me to do about this? Love those that mistreat you. Oh, I don't know about that. Well, that's what Jesus did. Oh, I can't do that. You're right. Only God can do it through you. That's putting on. And one of the things that can be helpful is praying for those who you're angry with or you have resentment to or been hurt by, and praying for their benefit. Praying that God would help them. Pray that God would bless them. See, when I have hate, when I have anger about somebody, they become less than a person. Have you noticed that? They become less, they become an it in your eyes. They're diminished, and therefore it's easier to treat them badly, easier because they deserve it. They're an it. They're nothing. But if I have God's perspective and say they're a creation of God, and I need to pray for them that God would save them, that God would help them, that God would give them wisdom, that God would open their eyes, God would do. Why? So they could be rescued from the situation that they have got themselves into, and I'm not going to contribute to that. I'm going to be part of the solution, part of what God would want to happen, not a tool in the enemy's hand to bring more destruction, more hurt, more damage, and be a tool of the enemy. How many of you have ever, and you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you have ever been a tool of the enemy? I have. A pastor said something, did something that was uncalled for. And I found out, you know what? I just got bamboozled here. I just got manipulated to doing something to somebody that God died for, that Jesus died for. What in the... Forgive me, God. I'm sorry. I don't like being manipulated. Do you? So don't give the devil a foothold. Be angry about the right things, not the wrong things. Gain insight to why you're angry and deal with those things soon so that you can find yourself being instruments of God, not instruments of the devil, to bring his evil plan to pass. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the wisdom that you give us. And Lord, I know that once we leave here, a lot of these things will be lost because we just don't remember. But help us, Lord, as we take a look at these things through the week, that you remind us. And Lord, you may even give us a test. Test us on what we've learned so that we might practice these things. So Lord, help us to be ready if we find ourselves this week in situations that are very frustrating. Or we find ourselves in situations where we're hurt again. Lord, we need to see this as a test. We're being put in a test so that we can practice what we learned. Help us, Lord, we pray this week, as we put your truth into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.